Please turn to Romans chapter 2, and I want to read 11 verses beginning with the first verse. Romans chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. And as I said, I want to conclude my reading there with verse 11 of Romans chapter 2. I want to use this for a title. God is serious. In the 8th and 9th verse, and I want to review these two verses with you. In the 8th and 9th verse, Paul said, unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also of the Gentile, of those who do not obey the truth. And I want to speak in this, and this is really the thought that God has burdened my heart with. I want to have you think with me this morning about God sending His Word to people. And I have told this to you before, and I know that many of you here today, I know that you don't understand what it is to be a preacher. That's something that you can't be expected to understand unless you have experienced that. There are brethren here today that will be able to well relate with what I'm saying, but God called me to preach. I didn't decide to become a preacher. If the decision would have been mine, I don't believe I would have done it. I can't imagine that I would have volunteered for it, but God called me to preach His Word. And I don't mean to, by saying that, I don't mean to cast any bad light, because I love to try to preach, and I thank God for, as Paul said, for counting me faithful, putting me into the ministry, but I did not pick the job. God chose that for me. And I think sometimes that perhaps we don't take it seriously enough when the man of God stands up to preach. That we don't place enough value on that, I'm afraid, at times. And I'm talking about all of us. You know, I believe that those that God calls to preach, they are the ones that should be preaching. Those that have chosen the task for themselves, I'm afraid today they are misleading many people. But those who God has called to preach ought to be those who are preaching the gospel. And among those who God has called to preach, we ought to be preaching what God wants to be preached. And I have a dilemma in my life that I deal with from time to time, is that I have the responsibility, as your pastor, I have the responsibility to stand before you, to open the book, to break the bread of life, to bring forth the message from God's word. And I don't know from time to time, from week to week, I don't have a clue what you need to hear. I really don't know what you need to hear. But God does know. And so I find myself continually asking God and praying before God and waiting on God. You know, oftentimes I have to just wait on the Lord. I have to pray and I have to ask God, Lord, what do you want me to bring? What would you have me to say to this, thy people? And I have to wait until God is willing to answer that prayer. And God is so faithful to me in that. And not only to me, but those whom he has called to preach his word. God is faithful to his preachers in that because he never fails to move upon my heart and to let me know what I'm supposed to bring. God never fails me in that way. And so, you know, I believe that's of extreme importance because, listen, you that are gathered here today and you that do gather and assemble here from week to week, you didn't come to hear what I think about things. You didn't come to hear my message. At least I hope that you didn't come for that. I hope that you came here this morning expecting to hear from God, expecting to hear a message from the Lord. You know, I would to God that as a church that you would expect that of your pastor. That you would expect when you come to church to hear him preach or any other man that God has called to preach, as far as that goes, that you would expect that that man would have a message for you from the Lord. Amen. Not just something that he would like to preach. You know, I think the problem is, probably it's true for most of us, if it were left up to me, I'd probably always preach those marshmallow messages. You know, those fluffy ones. You'd probably hear me all the time just telling you how about God's love and how much he loves us. Well, he does love us. But, you know, there are things that God expects of us. There are things that he expects of us as his people. And one of those things that God absolutely expects, and that's what I want to bring before you today in this message. One of those things that God absolutely expects and demands of people. It's not just something he would like to have. It's not just something that he is wishful for. But something that God demands is that when he sends his word forth to a people, he expects them to obey his word. He expects that. And he won't settle for anything other than that. And we have read here in this second chapter of Romans, and I will share some other scriptures with you. But we read here in those in the seventh and eighth verse of the seventh chapter of Romans that you know, there's blessings that will come on, will come upon those that will seek after God and that will seek after his truth and will be obedient unto the Lord. The Bible teaches us that all throughout the scriptures, that God will pour his blessings out upon people that will obey his words, that will obey his commandments. But God will also bring great punishment upon those that do not obey the truth. And listen, I'm going to say this today, and there's certainly a difference in it, and I want to try to make that distinction in this message, but God will bring punishment. God will bring punishment upon everybody that fails to obey his word, both the lost and the saved. God will, don't ever think that God won't punish his people for shunning the truth, because he will. He's done that to me before in my life. I have experienced the heavy hand of chastisement from God upon my life before, because I was failing to obey the word of God. And don't ever think that he won't do the same to any of us, because the Bible told us right here that God does not respect persons. He's no respecter of persons. You know, sometimes in our lives, sometimes it's difficult for us not to play favorites. It really is. Sometimes in many situations, it is difficult for you and I not to have favorites and not to play favorites. But I'm telling you, we have God, our Heavenly Father, is impartial in that in every way. And God does not play favorites among his children. God will treat every one of us exactly the same. He will love us the same. He'll require the same things of us. You know, God doesn't, he doesn't only require obedience from the preacher, does he? He requires it from the deacon. He requires it from the lay member. Listen, those of you who have just recently been saved throughout this year, Brother Wheat mentioned that we've had people saved this year and baptized and become members of the church. And listen, God expects obedience from you in your life. He expects you to obey him and listen to his word. I think sometimes that we get the idea. You know, even as Christian people, I'm afraid sometimes that we get the idea that, you know, we can listen to God's word and we can say, well, yep, that's the truth. I know that that's true. I know that that's something that we ought to be doing. And we think that we can take it or leave it. And we think that you know, we can apply it or not apply it, but I'm going to tell you something. God isn't like that. God doesn't work that way. When God, I'm convinced of this, and I have scriptures I'm going to share with you that I believe prove this conclusively, but when God places a message upon the man of God's heart to bring to his people, and he delivers that message, God expects that it will be received and that it will be practiced, that it will be used, that it will be obeyed by those that hear it. And so you see, you know, you have a great privilege here today, a great privilege. Not to come and hear me preach, but to hear the word of God. You have a great privilege before you today. And you know, sometimes I think the things oftentimes that we forget is that with great privilege, and this is true in many aspects of our lives, but with great privilege comes great responsibility. And you have the privilege this morning to come and assemble here. Thank God in heaven for the freedom that we have in our country still to do this. And you have the privilege today to come and hear the word of the Lord. But listen, just as soon as you step through those doors and made it your choice to listen to God's message today, then God will make you responsible to believe his word. There comes great responsibility with great privilege. I want to say this to you that are here today that are lost, that the eternal well-being of your immortal, undying soul rest upon your obedience to the gospel. You know, we don't preach a salvation by works. I don't believe in a salvation by works. I believe the Bible teaches us very conclusively that salvation is not by works. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. I believe in salvation that is wholly, totally of grace, not of works. But I'll tell you what I do preach, and what I do find in the Bible is I find a salvation that does come through obedience. You must obey the gospel. You must. If you're going to ever be saved by God's grace, if you're going to make heaven your home and miss the damnations of hell for all of eternity, you're going to have to obey the gospel. And the Apostle Paul, in his writing in 2 Thessalonians, in the first chapter, he told us and gave great description of what will happen to those that fail to do that. If you're here today and you have never been saved, if you know that you have not been born again by the Spirit of God, I want you to listen today to what Paul wrote about that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Who would that come upon? Upon those that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we read in the scriptures, and I know you've heard about it many times. I know you've heard about the account of that rich man there in the 16th chapter of Luke, that the Bible says the rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments. You know what the biggest problem was there? It wasn't that he was rich. It wasn't that he fared sumptuously every day while he lived in this world. The problem was is that he had not obeyed the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And everybody that dies without God, every soul that spends an eternity in hell, they have something in common with each other. They are all there for one reason, and that is that they did not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They did not repent of their sins. They did not place their trust in him for the salvation of their soul, and thus they have an eternity apart from him. That's the only reason. Nobody ever went to hell because they were a drunkard. Nobody ever went to hell because they were a thief. Everybody that has ever gone to that awful place or ever will go to that awful place, they went because they did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They failed to obey the gospel command to repent and to trust. God's coming, friends. The Lord is coming. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming. You can be sure of it. There were people that we read about in the Bible. There were people that lived in what we know as the world before the flood, the antediluvian world. There were people that lived in that time, and God had looked down upon them, and it had sickened God what he saw. It had grieved him when he saw their wickedness. It had grieved him to the point that he was sad that he had ever even made man upon the earth. And God looked down and God passed judgment upon their wickedness. And he said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. His days shall be 120 years. And God told Noah there to begin building the ark. And listen, while he was building that ark and warning the people, they were not listening to him. They were not believing what was being said. And when the time come to fulfill what God had said would come to pass, when he broke the fountains of the deep up and he sent rain down from heaven, they had not believed the message, but it didn't stop the flood from coming, did it? Amen. And you know what? Listen, your failure, I want you to understand this. Your failure to believe the word of God will never make it untrue. God's word is God's word, and it would have been truth if there would have never been one single person from Adam down to our day that would have believed it. It would have still been the truth. Amen. We don't make God's word truth by believing it. His word is truth. His word is settled in heaven forever. And I'm going to tell you something. Just as sure as the flood came, what we read about in the teachings from Christ and in the writings of the Apostle Peter, just as sure as the flood came, there's coming a day when God's going to send his destruction upon this world. The Apostle Peter said that even the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. In the sixth chapter of Revelation, we read that the sun will become as black as sackcloth of hair, that the moon will no longer give her light, that the stars will fall from heaven as a fig tree casting off her untimely figs. The mountains and the islands will be moved out of their place. Let me tell you something. Just as sure as God brought the flood upon the earth, he's going to bring final destruction. I mean, you can take that to the bank. It's settled. And when this world, and I know you've heard this a lot of times, but it's true. When this world is burning up, when this world is engulfed with unquenchable fire, God's word will still be standing as truth. It'll be standing as truth. It has stood the test of time. Do you know, through the dark ages, that there were people that they tried to destroy even the written word of God. They tried to get rid of, they tried to burn the Bibles, they tried to burn the books. And you know what? Well, here we still got them today, don't we? God's word will never be destroyed. But listen, if you burned every Bible in the world, God's truth would still be his truth. It'll stand, friends, I'm telling you, it will stand forever. I want to share these scriptures with you in Jonah chapter 3. You know the story of Jonah. God, this Hebrew preacher, God told him to go down and preach to the people in the city of Nineveh, and he didn't want to go preach to them, so he got on a boat and he tried to get away from God, and God didn't allow him to do that. And when God spoke to that whale and commanded that whale to let Jonah go, that whale vomited him up there, and Jonah still had to go to Nineveh to preach. And in Jonah chapter 3, verses 4 through 6, it says, and Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. And listen, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And I'm going to tell you something today, folks. I'm going to be quite frank with you. I'm going to be quite honest with you today. When I read that again, I've read that scripture so many times, but when I read that again and thought about that again, I was overwhelmed with the thought when I read about how that even the king of Nineveh came down from his throne and he put on the robe and he sat there in the sackcloth and the ashes rather and took off the robe. I couldn't help but think, Lord, help us. I wish that our leaders now would be that humble. I wish that those that are trying to guide this country would realize what shape that we're really in, that they would be willing to get up off their high seats and humble themselves before God and repent of the things that we have become. I'll tell you what, our country would sure prosper from it. If our leaders today would have the attitude that the king of Nineveh had, our country would be a lot better off than what it is today. I'm going to tell you something. You don't ever get, don't ever let your position in anything make you think that you're too good to humble yourself before God. I'm telling you, a sinner is a sinner, and it don't matter if he's a king or a slave. A sinner is a sinner. But I want you to look closely at what the book of Jonah says. Jonah began to enter the city, and he began to preach the message that God sent him to preach. And it doesn't say that the people of Nineveh believed Jonah. It says they believed God. You know what I believe happened there? I believe when that man of God came into that city and he was preaching to them the destruction that was going to come, I'm convinced that those people believed that they were hearing a message from God. That through the prophet Jonah, they were hearing from the Lord, because the Bible says when Jonah preached that they believed God. And that's what I want you to do here today. I'm not asking you today to believe me. I'm asking you to believe God. A sinner, listen, when I preach to you that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent, when I stand here and tell you that the conditions of salvation are repentance toward God and faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, when I tell you that except you be born again, that you're going to perish and lose your soul forever, I don't want you to believe me. I want you to believe God. I want you to take God at His word. Because it's not my word and it's not my message. I just came today, Brother Ralph, I just came today to try to be the messenger, to try to share with you what God sent me to share to you. And you know what? When I get finished with that and I'm going to make some blunders, I've never preached a perfect sermon yet. Because I'm not perfect. I'm going to make blunders and I'm going to mix up words. But I'll tell you what, I believe God can get the message across. Despite my imperfections, I believe the Lord can get the message across. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask the church here a question. Let me ask you that are saved a question. Have you ever listened to the Word of God? Has God ever moved upon your heart through the preaching of His Word and convicted you of something in your Christian life? Convicted you of something? Convicted you of His truth and showed you, yes, that's right. Yes, I've heard the truth. Yes, that I do need to do that. And have you ever just walked away and just put that on the shelf and not done a thing with it? And I'm afraid sometimes that we do those things and we expect that God is looking down on us and He's just saying, well, I tried. I don't believe that. I believe God's more serious than that. I believe that whatever we the truth we hear from His Word and the way God uses that in our heart. I'm going to tell you something today. I want you to know this today. I believe you do know it, but I'm going to tell you again anyway, whether you're saved or whether you're lost. I want you to know that every time that I have ever stood before you and proclaimed the Word of God, and there begin to be a stir in your heart, and there begin to you begin to feel something moving in you and convicting you and convincing you of the truth, I want you to know something today. I don't lay any claim on the power to do that. That's not me doing that. That's not me making you feel that way. That's God working in you through His Word. And you know, if you push it away today, if you push it away, if you reject it, you're not rejecting me. You're rejecting somebody a whole lot bigger than me. When we push God's message away, when we just take it and we say, yeah, I'll file that one away. I just, you know, won't worry about that right now. We're rejecting somebody bigger than the one that brought it. We're pushing God away. Lost friend, if you're rejecting God's message, you're pushing God Himself away. 2 Chronicles 36, verses 15 and 16. This is God, this is something that happened between God and Israel. It says, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by His messengers, rising up betimes and sending, because He had compassion on His people and on His dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God, despised His words, and misused His prophets, until the wrath of God arose against His people, till there was no remedy. God's serious, isn't He? I mean, when God sends a message out, He is absolutely serious. God, when God sent Jonah to preach to the people of Nineveh, He was serious. He was deadly serious. Yet 40 days and your city is going to be overthrown. You better repent. You better repent or destruction is coming up on you. Isaiah 1, 19 and 20, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land, but if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Blessings upon blessings to those that obey. Cursings, punishment to those that don't obey. Has God ever give you a whipping? He has me. You know, I'm thankful. I'm thankful that God don't let me do whatever I want to do. I'm thankful that God won't just let me go. I'm thankful that when I get outside of His will and don't walk in His ways, I'm thankful for His correction. Shows us that He loves us. God doesn't chastise us because He hates us. He shows us through that He loves us. You know, if you're here and lost today, and God's dealing with your heart through His Word, He loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to come to the knowledge of the truth, to have eternal life. But you're not going to have that if you fail to obey the gospel. I'm telling you, folks, God's word is serious. It's serious. You know, today I tried to do what the Lord told me to do. I know I didn't do it perfectly. I know I never have done it perfectly. But I came and I tried to do what the Lord sent me to do. And I'll find a certain amount of peace in that. I will. You that heard it will have the responsibility to respond to God, to respond to His Word. You know, it's my job to preach it. It's never been my job or the job of any other preacher to try to make anybody believe it. God doesn't even make you believe it. He wants you to. With all his heart, he wants you to. And he'll deal with you if you don't. But God doesn't make us believe his word. He gives us the choice of whether we will believe or whether we won't. So I'd like for us to have a song. The Lord is coming, friends. He's coming in flaming fire. Lost friend, he's coming in flaming fire to take vengeance on them that don't obey the gospel. If you're here, if you're one of God's children and you've disobeyed his word, you need to repent of that too. I mean, you know, we need to keep our lives as pure as we can before the Lord. We need to repent of our sins, and we need to believe his word, and we need to take his word, and we need to apply it to our lives that we might serve him in an acceptable way. So I want you to remember that today and throughout the year 2011, that God is serious. When God sends a message, he is serious about his word. Let's stand.
196. I have decided.